Sarah Palin gets possessed by demons. Where's the guy who said he was going to protect her from demons? Weird. What, do we drop? Oh, okay. Well, let's... apparently we're... Oh, let me start all over again. First, thanks to everybody in Seattle for a really good time. The forum was great. I really enjoyed seeing the other four people who were on the panel, and David Postman from the Seattle Times, former political writer for the Seattle Times, plus everybody at AM 1090 in Seattle who hosted the program. It was and the 1,200 people that showed up. It was an absolute hoot. So thanks for a really good time, Sailor. And, you know, seeing Stephanie Miller, that that made it worthwhile too, right? Anyway, I'm off the air for one night, and Sarah Palin goes absolutely nuts. This woman is seriously deranged. There is no, there's no doubt that she is deranged. There is ample proof. The latest proof is her statement. Apparently, she put up this demented Facebook rant trashing Obama's health care plan. She said, quote, "The America I know and love is not one in which my parents or my baby with Down syndrome will have to stand in front of Obama's death panel so his bureaucrats can decide based on a subjective judgment of their level of productivity in society, whether they're worthy of health care. Such a system is downright evil," end quote. Sarah Palin is a demon. Sarah Palin is insane. Anyone who could make stuff up, and her, obviously she got this from that McCoy woman, the woman who used to be the lieutenant governor, for Christ's sake, of New York. And when you add those two with Michelle Bachmann and Michelle Malkin, where do these women come from? What kind of spawn of Satan? I mean, you expect the brain-dead males like this punk-ass Glenn Beck or some of these members of Congress, whether they're senators or representatives, you expect the right-wing males to be just nuts. But I guess it was a kind of a sexist attitude on my part that I just don't expect women to be this crazy. Well, Sarah Palin put that to rest today, or over the weekend. Jesus, God. No, the only time she wants her Down syndrome baby brought to anyone's attention is when she wants to use the little booger for a political gain, or for attention to her great sacrifice, or to somehow, and this is the twisted part of Sarah Palin, somehow to make an anti-abortion statement with her own child. This is how demented this woman is, with her own child. She is willing to make her statements about anti-abortion. This is crazy. The America, she says, I know and love is not one in which my parents or my baby with Down syndrome will have to stand in front of Obama's death panel. You crazy, crazy woman. You are out of your mind. And frankly, I truly hope the Republican Party keeps you out there. I would like to see a Palin Beck event. Hey, have you got that thing from Glenn Beck, when Glenn Beck talks about murdering people? Have you got that? Now, don't forget, Palin is the one that talks about Obama's death panel. Listen to this psycho bastard.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. Mm-hmm. I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know,
yeah,
and I could just be choking the life out. Okay. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do, and I've lost all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore, and then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least he wouldn't choke him to death, and, you know. Well, I'm not sure.
That's right, because you're a goddamn crazy man. You're out of your mind. Beck, do us all a favor. Follow the tradition in your family. Kill yourself. Honest to God, if it comes to the point where you want to kill yourself, do it! Only do it on your television show, will you? My God, a death panel. A death panel. Oh, Lord. The crazy people, including Beck and the rest of these vermin, insist that in the, I think it's 5 or 6 pages, that there is advanced care planning consultations in Barack Obama's health care plan. Senior citizens, assisted suicide, euthanasia. It says government will instruct and consult regarding living wills, durable powers of attorney, etc. Mandatory period appears to lock in estate taxes ahead of time. Ooh, government provides approved list of end of life resources guiding you in death. Government mandates programs that order end of life treatment. Government dictates how your life ends. Advanced care planning consult will be used to dictate treatment as patient's health deteriorates. This can include an order for end-of-life plans, an order from the government. Government will decide what level of treatment you may have at end-of-life, end quote. This is what the snarling, crazy right-wingers, Republicans, conservatives, people like Beck and Palin and the rest of these maniacs are putting out there. The truth? The truth? The bill calls for the reimbursement, that means money going back, of a voluntary, if you want it, session of counseling with your physician once every 5 years about how you want to handle your documents, your living will, your power of attorney. Now you can sit down, if this passes, with your doctor and have this discussion. And the charge for that session will be paid for by the public health option of the insurance. Holy Jesus Christ Almighty, isn't that awful? They're going to kill Granny! The counseling would allow patients and their families and a physician and your lawyer to understand all of the options. But because the right wing is saturated with goddamn maniacs, demon-possessed sociopaths, and Sarah Palin is. You know, you got to believe in demons to be possessed of them. And Sarah Palin, who obviously believes in demons, it's a central part of her life. That's why she stands there while some witch doctor casts the demons out. You saw that video. Everyone's seen the video. Or protects her from demons. I don't know. But when you have this kind of craziness, and then the abysmal ignorance in this country, where you have people show up for a town hall meeting who say, well, I have a question. Is the government going to decide when to kill me? Ah! Are they going to decide how I have to die? Ah! This is what the sick bastard Glenn Beck and the demon-possessed Sarah Palin are putting out there as a means of entertaining themselves. I guess I just lost my husband. I don't know where he went. So I'm gonna take my money. I'm not gonna pay his rent. I got a brand new attitude and I'm gonna wear it tonight. I'm gonna get in trouble. I wanna start a fight. Na 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 na. I wanna start a fight. Na 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 na. Start a fight. So
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
Sorry about this. I hope you can hope you can hear the program. son of a bitch. let's see if we can play a recorded bit. Where's that Glenn Beck piece? I want to hear that Glenn Beck piece where he talks about strangling Michael
Moore. I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore. And I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do, and I've lost the all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore, and then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least he wouldn't choke him to death, and, you know. Well, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we know you're not, Glenn. And I'll say it again, if you decide to follow your family tradition, please do it on television. You sorry bastard. Good Lord. And, you know, like I said, I got from Beck's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listeners, I got some emails again while I was gone. I got another 10 or 15 emails, which brings it up to, I don't know, 60 or 70 now, of people who insist that I said he should kill himself. Which I didn't, but I may come to that point. You know, what I said was what I said, but it's amazing to me, the people who send me these emails who are Beck followers and say, you know, F you, I hope your family all gets cancer, but I'll be praying for you. Oh, my God. It's pretty maddening. Just to lighten things up a little bit, because, you know, starting out with this putrid son of a bitch, Beck, with his statement about he wants to kill somebody, and look in his eyes while he does it, you know, sets the wrong tone for the program, I guess. Although I'm going to just play that and play that and play that, because we have picked up hundreds of new listeners now, the Beck people, who made sure that my comments got all over the right-wing snotosphere, which is fine. I think it's great. Maybe some of these sorry bastards will be converted. But short story, kind of a Larry David moment. When I booked the flight to go to Seattle, the form says, what kind of lunch do you want? And I checked kosher just to see what kosher would be like on an airplane, on a Delta first class airplane seat. So I checked kosher. So got on the plane, and we're up for about an hour, and the flight attendant comes along and says, Mr. Bloy, now you ordered a kosher lunch, right? And I said, yeah, I did. And the guy sitting next to me, with whom I'd been having this kind of weird conversation anyway, kind of turned and looked at me and said something about, you know, I went to school with a lot of Jewish people, and you don't look Jewish to me. And I said, well, you know, looks can be deceiving, but actually the only reason I ordered the kosher meal, I want to see what this airline, Delta, provides as kosher food. Oh, well, my God, I just got a salad. I said, well, you know. Well, said, did you get a kosher salad? No, I just got a salad. So, and he went back to reading his Mad Magazine. And this guy's like in his 50s, right? So about 10 minutes later, and I'm going to have to give you the punchline of the story after the break. About 10 minutes later, the flight attendant comes back. You know, nice woman, you know, whatever. And she hands me my kosher meal. Well, in the meantime, the guy, you know, the guy sitting next to me got his salad with silverware, real silverware, and A nice-looking salad. I'm sitting there thinking, damn, why didn't I get a salad? Look at that salad. Good God. I mean, the green stuff was green. The red stuff was red. The white stuff was white. And it really, really looked good. So the woman hands me a plastic box that's all wrapped up like a mummy. And it's wrapped up with opaque white plastic. And you can't really see inside the box of my kosher dinner on Delta Airlines, right? You can't really see inside. So I peel back the first half, and there is a plump, kind of pale-looking chicken breast. And it's sitting on a bed of lukewarm butterfly pasta. Is it butterfly pasta? Is that what you call it, Kathy? Bowtie pasta. And I'm looking at that, and I thought, so this is kosher. Well, I still have half the box to peel back. I'll get to that when we come back after the break. That what you thought love was for. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're lost because I'm tired of fighting.
The primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. All right, so to finish up with the story, I order a kosher meal on the flight from Atlanta to Seattle on Delta Airlines. You can do that online. And just for the heck of it, just to see what Delta Airlines considers to be a kosher meal. My seatmate is intrigued because, according to him, I don't look Jewish. So anyway, they bring the flight attendant, after a few minutes, brings this plastic box while I'm sitting here enviously looking at my seatmate who's eating this really good-looking salad. So she hands me this opaque plastic box. It's about the size of a... 8x10 sheet of paper. Here's this box. So I peel back the first half, and underneath is obviously Jewish chicken, or kosher anyway, sitting on a bed of bow tie pasta. And I gingerly touch the chicken, and it's not cold, but it's not warm either. It's that, I don't know what that level is where it's not cold, it's not warm. What do you call that? I guess my mom used to call that lukewarm. What it has to do with Luke, I have no idea. The bow ties were warm. So now comes the good part. I haven't peeled back the other side of the plastic container. Oh, and by the way, she handed me a little plastic sheath that had a plastic fork and plastic knife in it. My seatmate gets real silver, but I get this plastic stuff. Do they think if you order kosher food that they can't give you metal utensils, or you might attack someone? What? And after all the trouble they go through to screen you to make sure you don't have a knife, here's this guy sitting next to me with a goddamn knife. Oh, well. So I peel back the other side of the container. And there sits a mound of frozen chickpeas. With some little frozen orange and green things next to them. I guess those are bell pepper. And a frozen container of orange juice and a piece of frozen bread. And, I look at this and I think, what in the hell is going on? Frozen. So I call the flight attendant over, and you know how difficult that is, especially, I have 26 people I'm trying to take care of, sir. She comes over, and I said, ma'am, this stuff is all frozen. And she looked at me. She said, yeah, as if that's what Jews eat, frozen chickpeas. Obviously, I must be Jewish or I wouldn't order kosher. I said, no, it's frozen. I can't eat it. And I can't drink the orange juice. You'll notice that it's all frozen. And I said, look, can you take this into the galley and microwave it? Oh, no, sir, I can't touch it. I'm not allowed to touch it.
What?
I'm not allowed to touch it. You mean I can't get any, I can't get you just to warm this up? And she said, sir, I'm not allowed to touch it. I said, okay, well, can I have a substitute? Can I have a salad like he has? Well, no, we only order specific meals for the number of passengers. I said, in other words, you mean there's nothing I can eat? Well, I could go get you a bag of chips. So I said, okay, do me a favor. Take this. Can you take it in your hands if you're going to throw it into the garbage bin? Can you then take it? Or do you want me to get up and throw it in the garbage bin? Once again, I have no need for frozen chickpeas. And she said, well, sir, you ordered kosher. And at that point, I wanted to wrest the knife out of the table knife out of the guy's hand and clean my fingernails, I guess. I better say it that way, or some half-ass in the right-wing blogosphere will say, Malloy threatens flight attendant! So finally I got her to take away this tray of, on one side, frozen chickpeas, frozen bread, and frozen orange juice, and on the other side, lukewarm chicken breast. So, was this a fluke? Or was this what Delta Airlines considers kosher food? I guess we'll never know. Oh, let me see. Reg writes, you got the classic tasteless kosher dish. Plastic dish and utensils are a must. Stainless and porcelain together are verboten. They may have touched non-kosher food and cannot be used. This was punishment from the Jewish God for trying to pass. Well, you live and learn. Okay, I accept the dietary restriction of plastic utensils, but frozen chickpeas. All right, then. Okay, what else we got? I just thought, after starting the program with that psychopathic Glenn Beck, has he killed himself yet? No? Oh, my God, he's still out there. Okay. Just thought I would toss that in for you. Huh? Did I mention thank you for all the people at AM 1090 Seattle for a great weekend? I think I did. Our satellite uplink is just going to hell on us. Kathy's on the phone with somebody from Westwood One, and it's just, I don't know what the hell they're doing. So if you're not hearing the program, I apologize. I would imagine at this point the Sirius and XM have bailed and running something else. This just happens too often. It really does. I just wish I were a wealthy right-winger so that I could make sure the equipment works. But that's not what we are. Jay, I got a couple of emails here I want to share with you. The subject line, Obama as Hitler? !! Mike, okay, at this point, I think it would be a very useful exercise to actually load all these idiotic, screaming, right-wing dumbasses up into cattle cars and ship them down to one of our privately owned freedom prisons that conservatives have built over the last three decades to show them what it is that Hitler actually did. That's right. Make them believe that they will all actually be mass murdered in government death camps. Forget health care reform. You are all now going to be eliminated to make way for socialism. Do you think that this would make enough of an impression on their childish minds to wake them up a little? Besides, you and I both know that if we indeed pass single-payer health care, that they all would be the first ones in line to sign up. Jay in Stuart, Florida. And what else? From Edie in Atlanta writes, Mike, peaceful protesters against the wars were thrown out of buildings, put into paddy wagons, arrested even. Women were dragged away just for wearing a T-shirt that the right-wingers didn't like. Why in the hell are all these things, these teabaggers and birthers and assorted morons allowed to bring down town hall meetings all over the country? The so-called news media will continue to treat these hostage takings as legitimate debate. The Democrats should hire bouncers and throw these bums out. Have them charged with disturbing the peace. Makes perfect sense to me. Edie in Atlanta. So, yeah, I do not understand the mentality, not just of the birthers or the teabaggers or the rest of these freaks, but people who actually believe that a U.S. presidential administration is going to put together a death panel where people will pass in front of the panel and a decision will be made as to whether or not these old people should either be allowed to live or killed. Or as Sarah Palin put it, that the death panel would pass judgment on her Down syndrome child and others, one would assume, as to whether or not they have any level of productivity, as she put it, in society that makes them salvageable. Who? It's not so much who believes this stuff. I mean, we live in the United States of America. Of course, you're going to find 20, 30, 40 million people who believe this. But the people who come up with it, these demon heads like Beck and Palin and Hannity and Limbaugh, and put this stuff out there. What are they trying to do? Well, I've said it before a million times. I really have. They're trying to destroy America. These are your un-Americans, folks. If you really want to go after people who are trying to destroy the country, what are you going to do? Go after union members? Are you out of your goddamn mind? These are the people who are doing it. They are destroying the country with poison and lies. And they just seem hell-bent. And like I said, they're doing it for sport. That's the part that's maddening. That's the part that is totally insane, is the fact that they're doing this for sport. I mean, this is just unbelievable. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after the break. Stay with us.
Coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It's about 10 before the hour. I absolutely need to touch on the Afghanistan thing for a second because we're getting all sorts of strange information. An incoming advisor to the top general in Afghanistan, this is McChrystal, predicted a couple of days ago that the United States will see about two more years of heavy fighting and then either hand everything off to a much improved Afghan fighting force, or we are going to, his words, lose and go home. That's a quote. Now, the guy talking is somebody named David Kilcullen, a counterinsurgency expert. A counterinsurgency expert who will assume a role as a senior advisor to General Stanley McChrystal. And he's been highly critical of the war's management up to this point. And he outlined a so-called best-case scenario for a decade of further U.S. and NATO involvement in Afghanistan during an appearance at the U.S. Institute of Peace, if you can believe it or not. But under that timeline, he said the Allied forces would turn the corner in those 2 years, followed by about 3 years of transition to a newly capable Afghan force and about 5 years of so-called overwatch. Okay? You got that? That equals 10 years of our involvement in Afghanistan. Now, meanwhile, as quoted in an interview in the Wall Street Journal, General Stanley McChrystal, who is the top commander in Afghanistan, he said in this interview with the Wall Street Journal that the Islamic fundamentalist group, the Taliban, had gained what he called the upper hand in Afghanistan, where we've been for the last 8 years. McChrystal's interview also appeared designed to kind of boost support for increasing troop levels in Afghanistan. But the paper quotes him as saying that we've lost, that we've already lost, that the Taliban has gained the upper hand, and that the only way to win, quote, quote, said he needs there, which is his words, a very significant expansion of a U.S. presence in the Afghan Army and National Police. Now, that was in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago, I think. So today, on NBC, NBC blog, Richard Engel and Madeline Herringer, they posted a spokesman for McChrystal told NBC News that the Wall Street Journal's headline and lead go too far. Because under the headline, the Wall Street Journal, Taliban now winning, the journal wrote, quote, the Taliban have gained the upper hand in Afghanistan, the top American commander there said, forcing the U.S. to change its strategy in the eight-year-old conflict by increasing the number of troops in heavily populated areas. Blah, 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 blah. But McChrystal's spokesman categorically denies that the general said the Taliban is winning. The spokesman said the general did say there's an aggressive enemy, but that the general does not agree that, quote, the Taliban are winning, end quote. So what, I mean, what are we supposed to make out of that? Now, if you're a right winger, if you're one of these crazed Beck listeners or drooling Limbaugh followers, or you know, you know what I'm talking about. If you are one of those, it's very simple. All you do is kind of tilt your head towards your AM radio and wait to hear what the boys tell you to believe. Now, the boys will tell you that the Wall Street Journal got it all wrong, that we are winning, and we will continue to win, and everything is in a winning mode, and oh yes, he may need some more troops, but after all, this is war. And then the bobbleheads, the ones who listen to the boys, will kind of nod their head and say, yeah, well, oh, good. I didn't think the Wall Street Journal would lie, but I guess it's just more of more lies. And then if somebody points out that the Wall Street Journal is owned by Rupert Murdoch, of course, that won't mean anything. And Rupert Murdoch owns Glenn Beck's ass and Sean Hannity's ass. That won't mean anything. And I just wonder how these right-wingers stop themselves from their heads spinning so hard that it falls off their shoulders. You know, on the one hand, you have a Murdoch organ, so to speak, telling you that McChrystal says the Taliban are winning. On the other hand, you have a Murdoch organ, so to speak, telling you that, no, that's nonsense, don't listen to that. Everything's fine, we are winning, the Taliban are going to be defeated, everything's cool, don't believe it. Where'd you hear that? Keith Olbermann? Yeah, that's where you heard it. Or that Rachel Maddow? That's where you heard it. Yes, you did. And I wonder, honest to God, I wonder how much longer these right wingers, the drones, the one out there, the ones out there in Radioland, how much longer can this be done to them? I guess permanently. I guess it can just go on and on and on as long as there's a Glenn Beck who hasn't killed himself. As long as there is a Limbaugh, and as long as there's a Sean Hannity and a Fox News, I guess it can just go on forever and ever and ever. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. No. I have to do this. I'm sorry. All right. No broadband connection. Okay. Now I've got no computer.
Recently, new.
Welcome back, if you're still there. Sorry for all the audio problems at the beginning of the program here. We have coming up at the bottom of the hour Moment with Bob, one of our Moment with Bob little episodes that I think you're going to enjoy. Stick around for that one, okay? If you remember, when was it? About a year and a half ago, a writer for The Nation published a piece about how black folk in New Orleans were murdered by white residents when Hurricane Katrina hit. And there was also talk that some of the murder was conducted by Blackwater agents who were sent by Bush into New Orleans to take people's guns. And the story, when I first heard the story, it just seemed too outrageous. The first person I heard it from actually was Cynthia McKinney. And it was about 6 months later that the article in The Nation appeared. And when Cynthia told us about this, I just couldn't bring myself to believe it. You know, it was like, okay, where's it coming from, Cynthia? And her answer was, well, reliable sources. You know, I know people in New Orleans in that area, and you know, okay, maybe the horror of Katrina, maybe no, she said, it really happened. Okay, so confirmation came then from The Nation magazine, and now. According to Raw Story, the FBI has conducted a raid of the offices of the police investigators who had been looking into one of these incidents nearly 4 years after the police shootout that took the lives of Ronald Madison and James Brissett. on the bridge in New Orleans, the FBI has raided the offices of the police investigators in New Orleans who had been looking into this incident. And as Rostroy says, the Bureau's move suggests that the federal government may be serious about seeing police officers prosecuted over these events in 2005, especially this one, when Madison and Brissette were allegedly killed by police while four others were wounded as they crossed a bridge in the midst of the Hurricane Katrina crisis. And it also suggests the FBI may be worried that New Orleans police are trying, or may in the future try, to destroy evidence of what happened that day. Now, there's a couple of points here. According to ProPublica, quote, the police officers involved say they began shooting in response to gunfire from the civilians. And that claim is, of course, vigorously disputed by the shooting victims. That's what they always say. You know, well, they shot at us first, right? Survivors of this is according to ProPublica, survivors of the high-profile shooting incident have said they were unarmed when they were ambushed by officers on the bridge, who came to the site because they heard a radio call that described other police officers in distress. That's according to the New Orleans Times-Picayune newspaper last year. But police officers have maintained that police were in a firefight, shooting only after they were fired upon. Now, it goes on. There's more here. But the point is, I think, maybe, I guess the point of the article at Rostroy, and the point of this police or this FBI raid into the police department of New Orleans is maybe, perhaps, somebody is starting to take seriously this murderous fascism that is just rampant. And this is just one aspect of it. This Blackwater gang is just one aspect. Glenn Beck is another. Glenn Beck is very reminiscent of, I forget the guy, I'm sure somebody will email me, the guy who ran the brown shirts before the Night of the Long Knives, when Hitler had that guy killed and a lot of the key brown shirts, and it was disbanded because they were nothing but your goddamn thugs. That's all they were. They were just German thugs, much like the followers of Glenn Beck. Rush Limbaugh's followers are kind of geriatric. They couldn't get their ass off the ground to go do anything. They just sit back. Yeah, Rush, goddamn, you tell him. And as far as Hannity, Hannity's kind of a clown. And I think people who watch and listen to Hannity, even the ones who think he has a great show, are aware that he's, you know, Fox puts him on and Premier Radio Networks puts him on for comedic value. And I'm serious. I mean that. Because you hear nothing original. Everything that Hannity says, you can hear earlier in the day from the pig man. But Beck, on the other hand, is a threat to the Republic. Beck needs to be removed from the air. There's no question about it. He needs to be taken off the air permanently, because of what he is spewing, what he is ejaculating all over the United States. It's just vile what this thug is doing. But he is very reminiscent, I think, of these SA brown shirts. And maybe the move over the past couple of days by the FBI into some of the more egregious acts of American fascism, American Nazism, maybe this indicates something. And you know, maybe it indicates squat. Maybe it doesn't indicate anything. I'll take it seriously. I'll take all this seriously when the FBI invades Glenn Beck's hovel and removes his computers to see what neo-fascist organization is providing him with guidance. What organization that seeks the overthrow of the U.S. government by force is running Beck's program? Because obviously that's what's going on. I say obviously because if you watch Beck, and I have, with that kind of hooded, I may kill myself look in his eyes, that kind of psychopathic, I'm on strong drugs so that I don't kill myself look in his eyes, you know that somebody somewhere is feeding him information. So I want to play one more time just an example where Glenn Beck advocates or talks about how he wants to murder somebody.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody.
See what I mean?
I think I could. See? I think he could be looking me in the eye.
Listen to
you
this.
Know? And I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do? And I've lost the all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore. And then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least he wouldn't choke him to death. And, you know, well, I'm not sure.
Now you tell me, is that a rational human being? Huh? Come on, all you little turd Beck listeners who, all 50 of you who sent me the emails, I know you're listening tonight. Do you hear your leader talking about how he wants to commit murder? Well, the part I don't understand, I realize a public figure like Michael Moore, is open to all sorts of insults, but when someone actually threatens to kill someone on, was that radio or television? That was radio. When someone actually threatens to commit murder, isn't that grounds to come into their studio or wherever this occurred and start glomming stuff up as evidence of the possibility? Beck, I think, is planning to murder Michael Moore. I really do believe he's planning it. You heard him. I want to look into his eyes while I'm strangling him. I mean, is this rational? Now, Sarah Palin. Well, my America is not a place where my parents and my baby will have to stand in front of Obama's death panel so that they can decide whether or not they'll be able to live. Are these rational people? Well, of course they're not rational. But they are destructive enough that I don't know. They should be denied the right to speak in public anywhere, everywhere. Just put in a seclusion room someplace and given more drugs, more than they already take, and just leave them there. Kate in the desert, who spent a lot of time during volunteer work, a lot of time, went back and back and back and back to New Orleans to try to help out, and wound up working for, she'll send me an email if I got this wrong, but a couple of nonprofits, I think, and maybe even a an agency trying to get folks registered and get them some help. And she's not doing it anymore. It became overwhelming. But one of the things she knew about were the killings. And she just sent me an email. Glad the story is finally getting some legs out of New Orleans. So many for so long haven't believed me. I'm so tired. Justice will never happen. But at least folks might be slightly astounded now. The whole Gulf Coast is an effing crime scene. Yeah, it is. It is, isn't it? Aside from the murder, it's just overrun right now with Republican fraudsters, all under the, especially in Mississippi, all under the firm guidance of Haley Barbour, the porcine mayor of our governor of Mississippi, who used to be the head of the Republican National Committee. as far as Louisiana is concerned, the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, same thing. It's a shame, but it's America. Oh, and as far as the brown shirts are concerned, Ernst Röhm was the head of the brown shirts. He's one of the people who get to taste the blade the night of the long knives. And we got a picture of Ernst Röhm here in front of me, and I'll be a son of a bitch if he doesn't look like Glenn Beck. It's unbelievable. Go to Wikipedia. It's E-R-N-S-T, Ernst. Ernst Röhm, R-O, with that little double dot German thing above the O, H-M. Ernst Röhm, brown shirts, Ernst. And you see a picture, look at this. Does that not look like Beck? That same kind of hooded intensity, that porcine kind of... You look at this picture of Ernst Röhm, and you can almost smell him. There's that big swastika on his arm, that's very reminiscent of Glenn Beck. Every time I see Beck on television or a picture of him, I get the feeling that you can almost smell him too. But and it would be the same fragrance, one of fear. Beck is obviously afraid of everything. I guess if you're suicidal, of course you are. But that would be the smell. That would be the aroma wafting up from Glenn Beck's rather roly-poly body. But if you look at Ernst Röhm and Glenn Beck, you'll see a very reasonable similarity. Irish Dave says, by the way, is serving on the death panel a paid position or is it all volunteers? Jesus, God. Irish Dave is a real funster, right? Roz is in Canada and writes, Mike, just how gullible are these strange people anyway? The ones that are talking about health care equals socialism or whatever. They're not afraid to go to war with every country on earth as long as somebody else does the fighting, Roz. But they're terrified of universal health care. It's too strange to be believed. They are so mean-spirited, they wouldn't even entertain the idea of helping their less fortunate fellow citizens. I saw a grown man on TV screaming in fear that it was evil socialism. He either was doing a great job of acting or he really believed it. If these dimwits are that easy to lead by the nose, one could really have a bit of fun with them. That wouldn't be right, though. My mother always said not to make fun of the mentally disadvantaged. However, this lot deserves it. Roz. Yeah, it is pathetic. And I don't think, I think the old people now, the old people are always a rather large bullseye target for right-wing thugs like Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity. They always go after the old people. Have you ever noticed that? They convince old people that the donut hole prescription drug plan is wonderful. They convince old people that they don't need health insurance. They convince old people there's going to be a death panel. They convince old people that euthanasia is in the works if Obama's health care plan. On and on and on. They hate old people. And I wonder, does Beck not have a... Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Does Limbaugh, do any of these people not have parents that are old? Do they not have any members of their family? Do they go to those members of their family who are old and say, hey, listen, I'm going to be spewing a bunch of garbage on the air. And it's real hateful stuff. And it's all about old people. And don't believe it because it's just me doing my thing. So auntie and uncle and grandma, don't believe it. But I just want to scare the hell because this is how I get my ratings. I don't get my ratings, Grandma, by telling the truth or being a decent, peace-loving human being. I get my ratings by being a neo-Nazi thug. Here we go now. Keep it lowbrow. Get stupid. Why? Cause I know how. Check my brain in. Be an idiot. Act lame and stay ignorant. Be remedial. Wear the dunce cap. Slouch over and cool like a hunchback. Don't discuss things. Shout the last word. Put your good sense out the pasture. Drop your IQ. That's what I do. My advice to girls and guys who want to be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rocket scientists. Try applying this. Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down.
and I can't forget. I can't forget. Summer's almost gone, the winter's tuning
in. It's about 25 before the hour.
Yeah, the summer's gone, but
on the Malloy Show. All right, excuse me, it is time once again for A Moment with Bob. Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Let us begin. How to be of the left is tonight's title. Bob writes, hey, Mike, when I was a kid, it was straightforward. The commies were on the left. The John Birch Society and other crazies who believe the commies are coming were on the right. And everybody else was pretty much in the middle. The GI Bill, unions, and good jobs made up the foundation of a strong middle class. It was easy to be middle of the road politically when you lived in the middle of the middle class. The right never had a real foothold. Regardless of what the Dan Smoot report said back in those days, the commies weren't coming anytime soon. Richard Nixon convinced Joe McCarthy that an anti-communist campaign got votes. So McCarthy found his cause, and his goons ran roughshod over America in the early 50s. They ruined thousands of lives, but they never did find the commie threat. The right continued to flog the anti-communist horse, and the crazy conservatives all lined up to support Barry Goldwater for his presidential bid in 1964. Goldwater carried six states. Johnson won 486 electoral votes to Goldwater's 52. In college, I found ineffectual commies all over the place. Marxists, Leninists, the hybrid Marxist-Leninists, and Maoists, all arguing ideology until I was bored silly. It was difficult to be a communist in those days. Too much stuff to memorize. Working at a Taco Bell to save up enough money to buy the new Beatles album branded me a running dog lackey of the capitalist establishment. And no one seemed to appreciate my slogan, which was, smash the state, seize the time, won't you be my Valentine? But all that happened 40 years ago. Things change. The Republicans roared back into power 16 years after Goldwater's defeat. They allied themselves with the right, made up of crazy conservatives and crazy Christians, and got all the cash they needed from corporate America. These days, even when the right is out of office, they're never out of power. They've got everything they need. They've got the money, the media, and the crazy stupid people, a seemingly unbeatable combo. You don't need to win elections when you own enough people and media outlets. The right has been telling lies since before this nation was formed. Google A Short History of Conservative Obstruction to Progress. A Short History of Conservative Obstruction to Progress. And check out the anti-American agenda of the right that stretches back over 200 years. And somehow, they got control of our language. 40 years ago, you had to be a commie to be on the left. Nowadays, all you have to do is tell the truth. To be labeled part of the far left by Bill O'Reilly and the other corporate mouthpieces, all you have to do is expose their lies. Last Saturday night, radio station KPTK hosted a town hall forum. On the panel were radio talk show host Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan. Not a communist in the bunch. But because they expose the lies and machinations of the right on their programs and tell the truth, they are all labeled liberals and leftists. At the risk of sounding like Jeff Foxworthy, if you are against the illegal invasion and occupation of Iraq and the pointless war in Afghanistan, you're a lefty! If you think that health care should be available for everyone, you're a lefty! If you believe that religion and government should never mix, people are more important than the bottom line, and truth trumps lies, well, you get the idea. Basically, it comes down to this. If you're not insane, you're of the left. I don't know how to do it, but somehow we've got to get our dictionary back and change a couple of definitions that were hijacked by the right. I started off as an Adlai Stevenson Democrat. Along the way, it was only rational to be against war, to be for civil rights, to be against unrestrained corporate power, to be for protecting our government, and to be against the poisoning of our land, water, and food. These concepts define bargain basement sanity. The right holds completely opposite ideas, and they're the ones that have been calling the shots since Reagan. Sure, we won, so to speak, the last election, but the goons of the right are trying to seize power by force. It's the ultimate anti-democratic move by the historically anti-American right. How soon will we see that defending our democratic principles from the American brown shirt goons brands us all of the left? The tipping point is a level at which the momentum for change becomes unstoppable. There's a signpost up ahead. Next stop, the Twilight Zone. Regards, Bob. Another Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Kind of interesting, that forum he mentioned with the five liberals, or the five people of the left. I was at that forum. I was there. Interesting. Bob was there too, I guess. Yeah, I saw all those people. They were sitting up on the stage and talking about stuff. Let me see. What else we got here? The William writes in from Hollywood regarding the regarding Beck talking about strangling Michael Moore. William writes, "Is this what we've done to where so-called free speech allows people to be on the air talking openly about strangling someone?" In my book, that's a threat to be taken seriously. It's just insanity that he was even allowed to get the entire thought out without being shut down and the airwaves go silent. Oh, and don't forget Michael Reagan with his bye-bye baby with the hand grenade deal. William, yeah, remember that? That's another right-wing psychopath who doesn't get the publicity that he deserves. He was adopted by Ronnie and Nancy, I guess. But remember when Michael Reagan suggested that Muslim babies have grenades shoved up their rectums and the pin pulled? Remember that? Huh? And Glenn Beck talks about strangling Michael Moore. And Michael Savage, this freak on the West Coast, talks about kids with autism are faking it and their parents are suckers. And the kids are just little bastards that need to be spanked, I guess. What, this is a part I can just never figure out. I mean, what happened to people like Savage and Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh when they were children? Apparently they were just seriously abused. They must have had the hell beaten out of them. They must have been kicked around, slapped around. I wouldn't be surprised if they were sexually abused by their own parents, or at least their fathers, somebody. They had to have been. Because what they display is this kind of poison that only comes from some kind of a hideous, unbelievably painful and destructive, murderous childhood. I mean, you don't get a talk show where you have hundreds of thousands of listeners across the fruited plain, as Limbaugh does, and label your president's health care plan as having a logo that is similar to the Nazi symbol. You don't do that if you're sane. You don't do that unless you've been beaten up as a child. You don't go on the air, as Beck does, and say you want to strangle another human being and look into his eyes while he dies, unless that almost happened to you. I guess the suicide in his family destroyed him. You don't do what Hannity does, telling people to join the mobs, unless you were just beaten and kicked and humiliated as a child. And as far as Michael Savage is concerned, the problem with Savage, I think, is with so many people who are closeted over some issue, whether they're cross-dressers or gay or like to dress up in Nazi regalia, whatever it is, and they're not courageous enough to just come out and say, look, I like putting on a garter belt. And therefore, they become violent in their rhetoric. I don't know. I don't know why I spent any time trying to figure these pigs out, but it is kind of intriguing. We'll be back. As the years pass us by, will I still make the grade? Can I really offer anything? And will my soul be saved? Can you cleanse me or drive out the swine? Am I only falling, Father? Can you keep me safe from harm? The memories you build in the house on the hill, would you really change a thing? Correcting mistakes in a world.
Now, a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. This is from Cat Mary. Cat Mary writes, in one of his books, the erstwhile Robert Heinlein, the science fiction writer, well, I added that part because I remember reading his science fiction as a kid. Anyway, he noted some symptoms of a sick society: corrupt cops and courts, income and outgo out of balance, violence, muggings, riots, etc. And then Heinlein goes on to say, quote, but a dying culture invariably exhibits personal rudeness, bad manners, lack of consideration for others in minor matters, a loss of politeness or gentle manners is more significant than a riot. This symptom is especially serious in that an individual displaying it never thinks of it as a sign of ill health, but as proof of his or her strength, end quote. Which, Cat Mary writes, it seems to me perfectly describes these deluded birthers, deathers, nutters, beckers, and so on. Signed, Cap Mary in Memphis, where out-of-towners toted guns to Representative Steve Cohen's town hall meeting. Whole lot of theater going on.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do, and I've lost all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore, and then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least it wouldn't choke him to death, and, you know. Well, I'm not sure.
Really? Well, I think I am, Glenn. You're insane. And eventually, if your DNA pops into place and you decide to off yourself, like I said last week, please don't pick up a weapon and go shoot other people first, like, oh, I don't know, your family? Or people online at a grocery store? Just do yourself if you're going to do it. Come on. Come on, Glenn. Be a man. And if you're going to do it on your television program. Mark in Fort Worth writes, Mike, to me the most disturbing thing the Chicken Hawk Glenn Beck ever said was when he called Cindy Sheehan a slut in 2006. Have we as a nation now come to the point where the mother of a fallen soldier can criticize the nation's leader for lying us into an immoral war and get called a slut on the national airwaves? Mark, Fort Worth. If I don't think we as a nation have come to that point. The crazy people in this nation have come to that point. Yeah, and Glenn Beck personifies crazy. I mean, is there anyone out there? I notice that his hundreds and hundreds of listeners are not sending me the poisonous little emails tonight. What's the matter with you little snots? Are you hearing too much of your Lord and Master talking about murder, actual murder? Why is this son of a bitch on the air? Somebody answer me that, huh? Riddle me this. Why is Glenn Beck still on the air? He threatened to kill someone. And he calls Cindy Sheehan a slut. A guy who would no more put on a uniform and take a weapon and go defend democracy in one of these designated defending democracy places than he would eat his own foot. Glenn Beck, like all right-wingers, like all neo-Nazis, like all brown shirts, is a coward. He's a coward! And he's able to talk about strangling. Michael Moore, all Michael Moore would have to do is pinch Glenn's head off. And I think Michael could probably do it. But, you know, calling for that he wants, calling Cindy Sheehan a slut, a woman whose son died, if you believe the military propaganda, defending Glenn Beck's right to call the dead soldier's mother a slut? Really? Well, I guess so. Well, to you 40 or 50 emailers who wrote to me about your boy Glenn Beck, it was very entertaining. Benedict at Large writes, Mike, we should not ask Glenn Beck to commit suicide on television until after we give him the Obama end-of-life counseling. Yeah, well, that's fair. And where's this from? The town hall disruptions around the country have led to some outbreaks of violence. Unions participating in town halls have received death threats. At an event held by Representative Gabrielle Giffords, a Democrat of Arizona last week, the threat of violence led her aides to call the police after one attendee dropped a gun. Yelling and screaming is counterproductive, she told the Sierra Vista Herald at a Congress on Your Corner event last week. This is the representative. Then one visitor dropped a gun at the meet and greet held in a Douglas Safeway grocery store, says her staff. That has aides who call police to the event concerned for her safety. One of her spokesmen said, we have never felt the need before to notify law enforcement when we hold these events. And one of the callers to the Service Employees International Union said, quote, I suggest you tell your people to calm down, act like American citizens, and stop trying to repress people's First Amendment rights. That, or you're all going to come up against the Second Amendment, end quote. Cowards all. Every one of these people. Slimy cowards. So when Glenn Beck, and, you know, I wonder how long it's going to be before Glenn Beck inspires somebody at one of these meetings to shoot the speaker, whether the speaker is a member of Congress or an aide or someone who's trying to bring order. How long before? And then Glenn Beck, like this pig O'Reilly on the Fox News Channel, who inspired people to kill the doctor in Kansas and then tried to hide behind his cowardice, O'Reilly. I'm sure Beck will do the same thing. Oh, well, I never meant that. I didn't mean that. What I meant was, Cindy Sheehan's a slut. You know what I'm saying? 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. Sandra in Florida sends me a copy of Human Events newsletter, humanevents.com, which is one of the more crazed right-wing publications, but a lot of crazed right-wingers subscribe to it. It's the Pray in Jesus' Name Project, sending petitions to God and government to defend religious freedom. Yeah, religious freedom is really under attack in this country. Have you not noticed? But anyway, what the gist of the humanevents.com newsletter is a new petition to stop Obama's socialist healthcare takeover. They want you to sign something so it'll go to the 52 blue dog Democrats in the House. And the reason they want you to do this is because, listen up, quote, grandmas and unborn babies face extermination by Obama's health care plan. Investors Business Daily has just exposed the Achilles heel of Obamacare, that hostile socialist government takeover of your hospital, doctors, children, and grandparents. Jesus Christ. In an editorial entitled How House Bill Runs Over Grandma, the editors of Investors Business Daily, according to these freaks, report how President Obama was personally confronted by a North Carolina woman who asked, quote, if everyone that's Medicare age will be will everyone who's Medicare age be visited and told they have to decide how they wish to die, end quote. In response, Obama joked that he hadn't yet hired enough bureaucrats to conduct such an operation, yet he could not deny the New York Post discovery that the House bill, quote, compels seniors to submit to a counseling session every 5 years and more if they become sick or go into a nursing home, about alternatives for end-of-life care, end quote. In other words, according to humanevents.com, your grandmother will be told when insufficient resources are rationed to young people that her duty to die begins with mandatory end-of-life counseling. Or, as Obama explained, encourage the use of living wills that terminate otherwise salvageable lives prematurely through signed do not resuscitate legal releases. Jesus, God, what has happened? This is a goddamn asylum. Every single Republican, right-winger, Beck follower, they all live in a huge mental asylum, a virtual asylum. Every one of these crazy people. It goes on. Euthanasia is the first result of Obama's socialist government health care plan. And then they explain, bankrupt states can't afford to pay for grandma's hip replacement. Well, Obama's plan sends her a lawyer to make her sign a do not resuscitate, explaining her hastened duty to die and obtaining her signature legally absolving him of all guilt. Grandma's hip replacement? Oh, my God. Widely respected Minister Rick Joyner wrote this week after reviewing the analysis of H.R. 3200, that's the health care bill, voicing his strong opinion that this bill, quote, is about the euthanasia, the power to determine who lives or dies in America. Hitler and Stalin would have loved to have had such means as this for dispatching the millions they killed. It would have made the job much easier and probably given them the ability to kill many more than they did. This bill is that sinister. This is not a joke. Amen and amen and amen. Let's see what else here. Taxpayer-funded abortion on demand is another guaranteed result. But I thought that was taken. Oh, never mind. Obama will remove Christian prayers and symbols from government-run hospitals. It says the hostile socialist government takeover of Catholic or Christian hospitals will eventually result in atheistic silencing of religious expression and removing all Christian symbols from the very place where faith in God is critical to sick and dying patients. For example, look at the veterans' hospitals already government-run who are busy removing crosses and Christian symbols from their chapels because easily offended atheist complainers have successfully intimidated hospital administrators with threats of lawsuits by demanding separation of church and state.
Just imagine more atheist lawsuits when all Catholic and Christian hospitals are seized in the same way Obama took control of General Motors, inviting easily offended atheist complainers to demand that we change the name of the hospital from St. Luke's Memorial to the Obama Government Hospital. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What else is there? Ask nurse Catherine Lorena Senzon DiCarlo, who recently was forced to participate in a second trimester abortion against her will and is now suing Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan for blatantly violating her rights. Ask Pentecostal ministers Dale and Liliani Newman, who were charged with second-degree murder of their 11-year-old daughter because they refused to trust the power of a government hospital to heal their little girl, who tragically died with diabetes. Oh, here, this is my favorite. Homosexuals will get free $50,000 tax-funded sex change surgery. My friend, it says here, Matt Barber with Liberty Counsel made phone calls to several congressional staffers and Democrats from the offices of Senator Harry Reid, Charlie Rangel, Barney Frank, and the House Subcommittee on Health. All refused to give, very simply, an assurance that the proposed health care plan will not allow taxpayer-funded gender reassignment surgery or hormone therapies. Instead, these communists affirmed page 972 of the House version, which provides for standards as appropriate for the collection of accurate data on health and health care based on sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Ooh, goddamn, that says it very clearly, doesn't it? $50,000 tax-funded sex change surgery. There it is, right there. Here, let me read again. They affirm page 972 of the House version, which provides for, quote, standards as appropriate for the collection of accurate data on health and health care based on sex, sexual orientation, and or gender identity. Well, there you go. That very clearly says $50,000 will be forced out of your pocket for tax-funded sex change surgery. There it is. The Senate draft likewise requires the Department of Health and Human Services to, quote, develop standards for the measurement of gender, which means officially recognize subjectively self-determined transgender or transsexual gender identities. You notice how these people have all of a sudden gotten into the word subjective? Didn't the hoe from Wasilla use that? Let me see. Yeah, here it is. Obama's death panel, so his bureaucrats can decide based on a subjective judgment of their level of productivity. Wow, man. The right-wing crazies have found a new word, subjectively. Going on with human events, it further mandates, quote, participation in the institutions, programs of individuals and groups from different genders and sexual orientations. Oh, God, really? You see, Democrats want more than two genders included in the bill. In your town hall meetings, ask them how many. Excuse me, but I was raised on a farm, and there was one simple test for measuring of gender of mammals, or either male or female. Just look. Or do what I did. Bottom line, your tax dollars will pay for preferential hiring of homosexual hospital administrators who distribute $50,000 grants to gender-confused activists for unneeded elective surgery to mutilate their own genitals and force Christian doctors to perform it. I'm reading this stuff verbatim, lest you think that your humble and obedient servant has gone mad. God bless you in Jesus' name, Chaplain Gordon James Klingenschmidt. I wonder how this thing sounds in the original German. Railway station, one toll booth ahead. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary. Hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toll booth ahead. Who do you love?
Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Robert writes in, I used to live in Alaska. I know Sarah Palin is crazy and doesn't know any facts. It amazes me how many seemingly educated people believe the death panel thing. But you know, if you're an Iraqi, Bush and his gang were a death panel. For real. Robert writes, oh, there's that little dingy thing. Did I not turn off the sound? There, the sound's off. Isn't that irritating? You're listening to the radio and you hear somebody go, and you know they just looked at an email. Sam Stein, writing a Huffington Post, talks about how senior White House aides are expressing utter bewilderment because of this criticism that their healthcare agenda is what it's being made out to be. Particularly, they're pissed off at Sarah Palin. There was, one top-ranking official when asked about Palin's remarks that the president was creating a death panel that would determine whether to euthanize the sick, said, quote, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I reread the House bill this weekend. I don't even know what she's talking about, end quote. And Sam writes, in a sit-down with online reporters on Monday, the three Obama aides who spoke on condition of anonymity, or condition they not be identified by name, stressed that they were still committed to crafting health care with Republican input and would continue to work with conservative media outlets despite the harsh reception they have received. I digress from Sam's piece. See, this to me is a clear indication that the Obama administration or members of it still don't get it. They're dealing. I mean, why not send House negotiators into the nearest asylum? Do we still have asylums in this country? Or into a inpatient place, or what do you call that, Kathy? Inpatient, where people who are severely addicted or crazed out of their minds. Of course, most crazy people now, pardon the slang term, but I don't know what else to use, are locked up in jail since we don't have institutions for the mentally challenged, or not the mentally challenged, but the insane, like Glenn Beck. But you know, why not just go to one of these places and. Never mind. I mean, if you're going to work with conservative media and you're part of the Obama administration, you get much more done dealing with people who are on Thorazine. You would. Sam goes on, while some angst was directed toward the opposition Republican lawmakers who this administration claims have distorted the president's position, particularly on these end-of-life consultations, the majority of their ire was directed at the conservative commentariat. Quote, the so-called Obama healthcare logo? What is the Obama healthcare logo? One aide asked. We don't have one. But Limbaugh thinks there is one, and it looks like a swastika. These are the sort of things we're dealing with. End quote. The aide went on, quote, I don't know where they're making this stuff up. The bill, I was just looking at the House bill, the part of this that covers insurance market reforms and the things to extend coverage and the exchange and public plan is actually pretty spare. And yet they've managed to make that into a vast government bureaucracy and really tried to scare people about the whole thing, which is disappointing, end quote. And today the White House began what officials described as a major push to counter disinformation about the president's health care agenda, including an online effort to alert the public to false claims and a media blitz on local and national outlets. The administration also sought to reframe the debate on eight core principles for health insurance consumer protections, which aides said resonated much better than health care reform. Health insurance consumer protections. Listen, boys, it's way too late for that. I mean, honest to God, take it from a 25-cent program. In other words, a two-bit talk show host. It's way too late to try to reframe the issue. You guys were so lame in getting this out and launching this plan. I mean, even though you had the AMA on your side, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, even though you had the pharmaceutical industry on your side, and why not? They don't have to pay for a goddamn thing. Even though you even got Harry and Louise to come out of retirement, these two old farts, there's Louise. Sadly, she's gained 60 pounds. She's going to be an absolute candidate for gastric bypass at some point. No wonder she's supporting it now. And Harry? Look at Harry. You seen those commercials? He's got a plate in his upper plate is slipping around. Of course they want it now. Hell yes. But 15 years ago,
Well, I don't know about this, Harry. I don't either, Louise. What is it? And Hillary Clinton, isn't she a communist? Who elected her?
Take a look at Louise when you see that ad, next time that ad runs. Whoa, how's your diabetes coming, sweetie? Huh? Eat a few more pork chops. You're going to need that health care plan, aren't you? Huh? Yes, you are. So the White House is confused and frustrated by Palin, Limbaugh, Hannity, and Beck. Well, then, guys, why don't you ignore them? Why don't you just ignore them? And yet I read that you're going to continue to reach out to right-wing neo-Nazi media and the commentariat. Commentariat. Ugh.
Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Are you always in confusion, surrounded by illusion? Sort it out, you'll make out. Seem to make a good beginning.
25 before the hour. Gotten a bunch of emails here that the sound is screwed up again on the internet, on the web feed. Really? Sorry. We'll notify Ben about that, because that has to be coming now from White Rose. Brian Kilmeade, he's the guy on Fox News who is not Steve Ducey. Oh, my God, Al just sent this to me. Media Matters is asking, does Fox News Brian Kilmeade think town hall protesters should be tased like Code Pink? You see, what this is all about, back in 2007, when anti-war protesters who made up Code Pink made headlines by disrupting an official event, by standing up and stating that the people involved in the event were literally supporting war. I know that's way over the heads of these right-wing pigs. But when that happened, the Fox News morning team was seriously pissed off. This is how it was reported. During a discussion about a Code Pink member heckling Hillary Clinton at a recent event, Fox News host Brian Kilmeade said that people who confront politicians are, quote, threatening, end quote, and should be tased or, quote, beaten to a pulp, end quote. As the establishment media continues to sell the idea that anyone who disagrees with authority should be brutally punished. A segment on the Fox and Friends morning show turned into an opportunity for Kilmeade to share his dictatorial fetish that dissenters be dealt with in the proper manner, as footage aired of Clinton's heckler being removed from the event by security. Kilmeade says, they should tase this guy. At one point, with security so high and tensions on edge, don't you think they're going to get, at the very least, tased or beaten to a pulp? These people are threatening. Well, Brian, you halfwit, what do you think now? Do you think that the protesters at the public meetings being sponsored by members of Congress to change health care insurance and are carrying guns and screaming and giving the finger and insulting members of Congress, you little pissant, do you think they should be tased or beaten to a pulp? Huh? God, wouldn't you love to walk on the Fox News set some morning And what did Beck do? He poured pretend gasoline on somebody. Wouldn't you like to pour pretend gasoline on the Fox News set? Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, my God. It just never stops, does it? What else have we got here? Oh, from Prairie 2. Now, this one we missed last week before I went out to Seattle, but Prairie 2's works are timeless. So here it is. He writes, Republicans wasted breathable air on the floor of Congress bloviating about how much Obama was spending on the Cash for Clunkers program. They were fit to be tied about the $1 billion spent in the first week, but the government spent almost that much Friday taking over failed banks in five states. The thing that is dragging down these small to medium-sized banks isn't home foreclosures. It's loans to commercial real estate projects and to developers. Not a peep has heard from Republicans about this because these aren't middle-class homeowners. These are good Republican contributors that drank the Kool-Aid that they were passing out. Bank seizures happen almost every Friday and will only become more common. A large bank chain in Texas could go down any day. The FDIC is rapidly burning through its reserves and will need to start tapping the $500 billion line of credit they asked Congress to authorize at Treasury. This is, of course, insignificant compared to the debt run up by the Bush crime family, which sucks up nearly $2 billion a day in interest. Then there's the trade deficit that sucks up another $2 billion a day from our pockets. That doesn't count the $24 trillion in bank bailouts. Just keeping a finger in the dike to stop the Republican red ink from drowning us all is approaching the total of all federal revenue. We are hurtling toward crisis that has never been seen before. And don't kid yourself that it's an accident or incompetence or even simple greed. It's a grab for absolute power. Once and for all, with no exception, we will all be slaves of the rich elite that control this huge transnational, huge transnational corporations. It won't be forced on us. In a cold and hungry panic, we will ask for it. Bruce Enberg, our economics correspondent. Go to prairie2.com, his website, prairie2.com. Jeremy is in Huntington Beach, California. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. I got news for you, man. It's not the left that's socialist, as you know. It's
right.
The right. I mean, how can it not occur to people that the very concept of limited liability, as in limited liability corporation, is exactly the opposite of personal responsibility? I mean, they're the biggest socialist creations that there are, and Adam Smith and Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson all ranted about them as being hostile to free market.
Yeah.
I was listening to Medved rant today about how, you know, Roosevelt had nothing to do with bringing us out of the Depression. What did it is World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, World War II was like the biggest socialist takeover in history. They took over all of production.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exactly what it was. They took over the factory.
Sure.
You know, it was all government jobs. How can this possibly get past them?
When you're talking about Michael Medved, you're talking about a man who is severely challenged where it concerns any kind of history. And the thing that really pisses me off, and I have to say this, it's probably not a very cool thing to say, but what really pisses me off is when somebody who is Jewish, like Michael Medved, who uses those World War II analogies, who tries to make it sound that Roosevelt and the New Deal and the fact that we got into World War II was some kind of a gratuitous action on the part of Roosevelt. Medved should be ashamed of himself. I've never seen people like these psychopaths on the right. And Medved, who is Jewish and should know better than to make a statement like that, he really should. It was right wingers in this country during the 20s and 30s who were providing the financial support. Right-wing Christians in this country providing the financial support to gas Michael Medved's relatives within 5 or 6 or 7 years. And so for Michael Medved to make that kind of a statement, you know, he's another one of those clowns on the right who is just absolutely, absolutely willing to throw his own grandmother under the train if necessary in order to make his right-wing point against anybody who tries to demonstrate anything progressive or liberal or good for this country. Michael Medved is another one. I don't mention his name because, you know, he's just a jerk ass. But since you brought it up, thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate your call. Steven is in Burbank, California. Hey.
Hi, Mike. What I was going to say is I was in Camarillo Mental Hospital for 6 weeks, and I've never seen anything this crazy. You know, I mean, you once said, I once told you, well, I'm a bona fide nutcase.
Yeah, you did. You did.
And you said, I know. And if I had any wit, I would have said, well, you didn't have to so readily agree.
That's true.
You know, but there were reasons. And I don't know how to diagnose this. I've heard terms like mass hysteria. I don't know if psychology has a parameter to pinpoint what this is happening in this country with these nutcases running around trying to vote against their own best interest, and you know they're trying to shut down anything that's decent. They're trying to. I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, do you have any thoughts about this? What we can call it, or how we can put a label on it, or something?
No,
I
really don't. It's clearly madness, and you're right in that these right wingers want to do nothing but destroy the country. And the thing that is amazing to me, it's understandable that the wealthy neo-fascists, the right-wingers, the multimillionaires like Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of these pigs, who provide cover to corporate America, it makes a kind of perverted sixth sense that they want to destroy, everything because what the ultimate goal here, and I think Prairie 2 had it in his email, the ultimate goal is to take us back to serfdom. He didn't have that particular term in his email, but he's written about that before. Don't forget, capitalism functions best when it's, when you have an overlord class and everybody else is a slave. There, of course, will be a difference in the slavery this time. It will not be, race-based. It will be, just about everybody except the top 1% who will run everything and control the military, which will be domesticated to the point where that's where the control will come from if these bastards have their way. But slavery and capitalism go hand in hand. That's why capitalism was so successful in this country. In the mid 19th century, in the early 19th and mid 19th century, that's how this country got its start, got a running start. Slavery, you know, forget the genocide for a moment, just pure slavery. Because with slavery, then all of a sudden capitalism has a chance to flourish the way it was designed to flourish. Don't forget, capitalism is the most toxic economic system imaginable to the family. Before the hour, thanks to the crew that tries so hard every night, Kathy Bay and Kathy Bay, who engineer and produce, thanks to the two Kathy Bays, she was really starting to pull out huge clumps of her hair tonight. Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg, thanks also, and to you, the audience, thanks for your patience. You know, what can I say? What can I say? You know, when they talk about Obama and the death panel, they being the real psychopaths on the right, like Sarah Palin and her posse, when they talk about that. The only one who that I'm aware of who actually talks about killing people is him.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore, and I'm wondering if I could kill him myself or if I would need to hire somebody to do it.
Oh, yeah?
No, I think I could. I think he could be looking me in the eye, you know, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus Band Do, and I've lost the all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore, and then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, he wouldn't kill Michael Moore. At least it wouldn't choke him to death, and, you know. Well, I'm not sure.
Do you know Beck is the type who, had he lived 2,000 years ago, would have been confronted with Jesus on the road? He would have killed him. I mean, that's very clear. It's very clear because Jesus was a socialist, maybe even a communist, and he had nothing but disdain for the wealthy. And, you know, I'm talking about if Jesus really existed, and there's lots of debate about that. But let's pretend, let's stipulate that yeah, Jesus was an historical figure. But had Glenn Beck been around back then, he would have either tried to kill Jesus Christ. Let's call him Jesus. He would have tried to kill Jesus. Or had he not been able to do that, you know, Beck would have been one of those people standing at the very front row of the mob when Pilate offered them Barabbas or Jesus. Beck would have been the one screaming for both. He would have. And I think Beck... you know, in the mythology, when Jesus marched to Golgotha and Simon of Cyrene stepped out of the crowd, a black man stepped out of the crowd to help Jesus carry the cross. And, of course, immediately the Romans beat Simon of Cyrene almost severely for a moment as they were beating Jesus. At that point, you know what Glenn Beck would have been doing? He would have been standing on the way up to Golgotha, and he would have tripped Simon of Cyrene, and he would have spat on Jesus. That's because Glenn Beck is a psychopath. He is truly a crazy man. So when he talks about, what would Jesus do, and mocks his own belief system, that's the part that is pretty astonishing. What would Jesus do? And interestingly, tonight, all these little turkeys who are Glenn Beck followers who have now been introduced to my program, and they listen with abated breath, waiting to come up with some kind of a keystroke response, and they're just, they don't know what the hell to do, because I guess they didn't know that their boy called the mother of a killed soldier, a soldier killed in Iraq, Glenn Beck called her a slut. Isn't that nice? This from a psychopath whose own mother committed suicide. And Glenn Beck calls Cindy Sheehan, whose son was killed in Iraq, a slut. And says he wants to strangle Michael Moore with his bare hands and look into his eyes while he's doing it. And you people are have the temerity to suggest that because I said this piece of filth is heading towards a crack up, and if he does it, I hope he does it. If he does crack up and commit suicide, I hope he does it on his television program. You have the gall to write to me? I mean, I appreciate your emails and the fact that you found the program now. But your boy wants to murder people with his bare hands, and he calls the mother of a dead soldier a slut. And that's just a couple of glaring examples of Glenn Beck's insanity and the reason he should be fired from and denied ever. Or do you the airwaves again? Or do you right wingers believe that the mother of a dead soldier should be called a slut? Do you believe that? Apparently you do, because you love Glenn Beck. You love him. I can tell by your emails. I can tell it's like an inverse ratio. The amount of garbage that you dump into your email and send it to me, like, oh, I'm going to be so impressed. that garbage is inversely proportional to the amount of love that you feel for Glenn Beck, someone who calls the mother of a dead soldier a slut. Aren't you proud of yourselves, you Glenn Beck followers, huh? And he hates the 9/11 victims' families. Aren't you proud of your boy, this filthy son of a bitch? Aren't you proud of him, huh? And he wants to strangle Michael Moore. And why was that? Oh, that's right. Michael Moore made the movie Sicko. Yeah. Well, we shall hear once again from Glenn Beck tomorrow night. People need to know what this sick son of a bitch said, since Glenn Beck seems to be the new darling of the teabaggers and the birthers and now these people who are disrupting the meetings. Okay, let's make sure that you scum understand what your leader is all about. He called the mother of a dead soldier a slut. But then you right-wingers couldn't care less. I'll see you tomorrow night. Not you, the normal people. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Do you owe the